So we're on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph.
Right.
On pretty much on the top of the Daf, what we have to know in order to learn this piece until the Mishnah, which is about halfway through the Amud, from Daf Yutes Amud Beis, is we have to realize that there's a Braisa which deals with Truma, Vafashas Truma. And the question is, can we allow lechatchila a cheresh, meaning a medaber v'eino shomea, to recite the bracha over the hafrashas truma? Because if not, we're going to have to ask him to be mafresh truma without a bracha, and that's not an ideal situation. And the Braisa records Rabbi Yehuda Bered Rav Shim Ben Pazi that eino chinami a cheresh hamedaber v'eino shomea torem lechatchila, which means that you don't have to hear the bracha. You can be yotze without hearing the bracha, and that's okay. Even lechatchila,
say it but don't hear it.
Correct. You recite it but you don't hear it, and that's okay. Even lechatchila. Now that seems to contradict another braisa with regard to birchas hamazon, and there it says lo yivarech adam birchas hamazon belibo. You know, he has to be at least lechatchila mashmiel liozno. Well, we just finished saying in Truma, on the Braisa in Truma, that lechatchila you could allow the cheresh to be mafresh the Truma, even though he doesn't hear his bracha. So on the top of Chaf Amud Aleph, the Gemara tries to sort.
Birchas hamazon, that's the Oraisa.
It's the Oraisa, correct.
But the bracha on Truma.
Bracha and Truma is only Durabon. Right now, as far as I could tell, unless John, you know better than me, we're not differentiating between Doraisas and Durabon. Okay. So right. I might be missing something, but that's the impression I get now. So again, the Gemara is going to try to sort this out here on the top of Chof of an Aleph, right. Figure out, you know, who holds what, and basically there are going to be three shitas, three possibilities. There's going to be two extremes and one compromise sheet in the middle. The extremes are that even lechatchila, you don't have to hear the bracha. The other polar extreme is going to say that hearing the bracha is absolutely critical, and even b'di'evad, you're not yotzi. In the middle, we're going to have this distinction that lechatchila, we want to hear the bracha, but b'di'evad, you're yotze. And all this is going to have an impact on our Mishnah here in Megillah, on Daf Yutes Amud Beis, with regard to a cheresh. Can we allow the cheresh to read the Megillah and to be yotze from his kriya? Obviously, if Shmia is likuva, then cheresh has the same status as a shota. And if we hear the kriya of the cheresh, we're not yotze, because the cheresh is a lav bar chiyuva. If on the other hand we take the brice of truma, which would allow a cheresh to recite the bracha even lechatchila, then in the case of Megillah, we would assume that a cheresh is an absolute bar chiyuva. And then we have again that middle position where lechatchila we don't want the cheresh, but b'di'evad it's okay. So the Gemara says li'olam Rabbi Yehuda, the braisa of truma, which allows a cheresh lechatchila to be mafresh, that reflects the shita Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds hafilu lechatchila, that even if you don't hear the bracha, you can be yotze lechatchila. There's no b'di'evad. It's not a secondary situation. Now we're stuck with the braisa of Birkas Amazon, where we said lechatchila he should not be mahar b'libo, but he should recite it out loud. Lo kasha, that braisa is not a problem. Why? Because hadidei maha dirabei. No, it's the braisa of truma which allows the cheresh lechatchila v'torem. That's Rabbi Yehuda shita. The braisa of Birkas Hamazon, which requires lechatchila that you are mashmiel liozon, that you hear the bracha, that's the Rebbe of Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, as we'll soon see. And he holds that lechatchila you have to hear the bracha, and you can only be yotze b'di'evad if you didn't hear the bracha. But Rabbi Yehuda himself, even though he's a Talmud, he holds that even lechatchila a cheresh is fine. Now, where do we find Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Tisanya, we have a braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bishum, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hakori Yashmat, Tzorach Shiyashmi Eliozno. So you see that lechatchila, in the case of Kriyat Shema, that's going to be paradigm of all recitations, whether it's brachos, whether it's hafrashis, the bracha on hafrashis truma, the bracha on pirkas hamazon, whether it be kriyas hamegillah. In all cases, l'chatchila, we require shiashmia li'ozno. And that should ever derive from the Pesuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Hashmea, Hashma liyoznecha, Masha to Motzi mipicha. So that's the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We can call that the compromise Shita, the middle road Shita, that lechatchila we certainly require Hashmea liyoznecha, but b'di'eved yoyotze even without Hashmea liyoznecha. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir holds that you don't have to hear the Kriyat Shema. And why not? Because we derive from a Pesuk Hashem Anochi Mitzav Hayom Al Levavecha. Meaning all the Torah is asking you is Al Levavecha, Achar Kavanas Al Lev, Hein Hein HaDvarim. In other words, the mitzvah depends upon Hir HaLev. And there's no requirement of Hashmei Liyaznecha, even Lechatchila. Because it's Kavanas HaLev. Well, if that be the case, then Rabbi Yehuda, on the one hand, is quoting his Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that L'chatchil, you have to hear what you said. And if the price of Birkas HaMazon reflects the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and the price of Birkas HaMazon requires L'chatchil, at least that you hear the bracha. And only b'di'evad yoyotze. Rabbi Yehuda, however, he holds like Rabbi Meir in this brisa that we just had, that even l'chatchila he could be yotze without hearing, and that would be reflected in the brisa of Truma, where we allow even l'chatchila a cheresh to be mafresh Truma. Hashda diosis l'hochi. Okay, now we have the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Meir that we mentioned, is afilu tema, even if you'll say the following, Rabbi Yehuda kirabe svirle, it could be that if we're opening up a new vista, a new possibility, that Rabbi Yehuda could also accept the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah l'chatchila, as we saw in the brisa of Birkas HaMazon, that Ein levarech if he doesn't hear his Birkas HaMazon. And in Kriyat Shema, Rabbi Yehuda only says that you could be Yotzi Yedei Chovaso if you didn't hear the Kriyat Shema, but l'chatchila you'd have to hear the Kriyat Shema. And our Mishnah, when it excludes Cheresh, that's only l'chatchila. And that could also be Rabbi Yehuda. Because in the case of Cheresh, not like the case of Shoter, right? Because remember, we had the Gemara that said, Haikid Islay, Vahaikid Islay, right? And that meant that even though in the case of Shoter, he's out completely, out of the ballpark, even B'ni Evan, but in the case of a Cheresh, then L'chatchila, he shouldn't be reading the Megillah, but B'ni Evan with Yotze. So it could be that that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of our Mishnah, and Cheresh is not the same, not to be identified with Shoter, but rather it's only a Din L'chatchila. Now let's get back to the Brice of Hafrashas Truma. In the Brice of Hafrashas Truma, it said the L'chatchila, there's no problem for a Cheresh to be Mafresh Truma. That can't be Rabbi Yehuda going to this new presentation. Hadatani Yehuda Bered Rab Shimon Pazi, who says that even l'chatchila you can appoint a cheresh to be mafresh the truma, will recite the bracha without hearing it. Rabbi Meir, because if you remember, Rabbi Meir in Kriyat Shema was the one who said that Alev Avecha means that everything depends upon kavanas halev, and therefore even l'chatchila you don't have to be mashmiel liozno. So the brisa of mafresh is truma that allows a cheresh to be mafresh truma l'chatchila, despite the fact that he doesn't hear the bracha, that reflects the shita Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir has the Alev Avecha drasha to teach you that you don't have to hear Kriyat Shema, and certainly you would not have to hear any of the other brachos or Kriyas HaMegillah. So what's the status of Cheresh as far as Kriyas HaMegillah? Let's just summarize. There are three possibilities. One possibility is that Cheresh is Dumya de Shota, which means he's la bar chiyuva, he's out of the ballpark because he cannot hear his kriya. The mitzvah of of Kriyas HaMegillah requires, like any other mitzvah, both Kriya and Shmir. The other way is to say that L'chadchila we can appoint a Cheresh to read the Megillah on our behalf, because Rav Meir's Shita is that even L'chadchila you don't have to hear what you recite, and that's derived from the Pasuk Alav Avecha and Kriyat Shema. The middle Shita is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and it's also the Shita of Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, the Rebbe of Rabbi Yehuda, that L'chadchila we'd like to find someone who could hear the Megillah, and therefore Cheresh would not be our optimum candidate. But b'di'evet, if you heard the Megillah from a Cheresh, you'd be Yotz.
You have the Tzak Alocha here in the Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah, can you read the Shulchan Aruch for me?
Yeah.
I don't have it in front of me.
Well, I have it in front of me here. Le'inyan Cheresh, Pasko Rova Paskin Ketana Kama She'en Yotze Yedei Chavoso V'Kriyoso.
Even b'di'evet.
Oh, b'di'evet. However, Aval Yesh Omrim, She'yotze b'di'evet, that's the Bach in the Shema of Hashba.
Yeah, I would have, if it were, you know, if my intention would have gone in that way, like the Bach, that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, because you see that the Gemara is working overtime to differentiate between Shota and Cheresh, and to Zetzara in the Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Mishnah, and he holds like his Rebbe, Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, that although L'chadchila you have to hear it, but b'di'evet you could be Yotze. And the Nafkamina is going to be where the Cheresh himself has to hear the Megillah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can't hear the Megillah, but he could read the Megillah. So a Cheresh comes to you and you're the Rabbi, and he wants to know, Rabbi, do I have to read the Megillah? Based on the Bach, I would say yes. Although he doesn't have the ideal kiyum of Kriyas HaMegillah, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that L'chadchila you have to be Mashmi Eliozno, right? Shema Yisrael Hashmei Eliozno, etc. But if B'di'evet is Yotze, then it means that he is a Baruch Yehuva. There's no way you can say that I can hear the Kriya of the Cheresh and be Yotze if he himself is not Chayev. That would be impossible. He's a La Baruch Yehuva. The answer is he must be a Baruch Yehuva.
You've had that question, I'm sure.
I never had the question.
No?
Now, he quotes a Ritva here in the footnote, which I thought was fascinating. The Ritva has a klal, I don't know where he derives it from, that as far as kolach yuvim shehem min haTorah, ein chiluk bein l'chadchila l'b'di'evet. The Torah doesn't make any distinctions between the whole distinction, he says, between L'chadchila and B'di'evet is only in Derabbanan's. It's a rabbinic institution. And on a Dorais level, the Ritva says there's no such thing as L'chadchila and B'di'evet. Either you are Yotze, and then it's L'chadchila, you're not Yotze, and then you're not Yotze and B'di'evet. And therefore, he has a problem here with Kriyat Shema. Because Rabbi Loz ben Azariah holds that min haTorah, you could fulfill your mitzvah of Kriyat Shema even without being Mashmili Ozno, but L'chadchila has to be Mashmili Ozno. That was Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, the verse that we just learned. HaKoresh Matzorot Shiyashmiya Li Ozno, and yet B'di'evet was saying he's Yotze. So this seems to undermine the whole principle of the Ritva. So the Ritva says, this is mind boggling, that when Rabbi Loz ben Azariah says that HaKoresh Matzorot Shiyashmiya Li Ozno, that's only Midrabbanan. I quote the Pasuk, I don't know. You know, the Pasuk is just an Asmachta, I guess. Because again, the Ritva can't tolerate that on a mitzvah d'oraisa like Kriyat Shema, there's a difference, a distinction between L'chadchila and B'di'evet. And here we have it. Rabbi Loz ben Azariah says there is a distinction. So again, if we really had time for this, we would go through the Ritva and see, you know, how that holds up in Shas. You know, that there's no, for example, there's a perek in Yevamos that's called Mitzvahs Chalitza. And you'll take a look there. Tosfos points out that there's a difference between chalitza l'chadchila, chalitza b'di'evet, and chalitza is d'oraisa. So you see that there are distinctions between l'chadchila and b'di'evet on a d'oraisa level. So I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I say the Ritva is
a lot of
the Ritva is very fascinating, very, very intriguing. Now the last piece here before the Mishnah deals with katan. And if you recall, the Mishnah here on Daf Yutes Amid Beis records a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda as far as Katan is concerned. Can a Katan read the Megillah? And Rabbi Yehuda says it's okay. So what we're going to try to do is, we're going to try to figure out how we paskin in this machlokes. Tanya, we have a braisa. Om Rabbi Yehuda, Katan ha'isi Ukrisia lemalo mi Rabbi Tarfon, who's Canaan blood. Rabbi Yehuda testifies that when he was still a child, he read the Megillah publicly, and who was sitting around? Who was in the audience? None other than Rabbi Tarfon and his Canaan. And nobody, how do you say, he's made a peep? How do you say it? Nobody objected.
No one objected.
Right.
And in this brisa, right now, we have what's called not just a psak, but we have an edus. We have testimony. Amrulo, so in the brisa, the chachomim who disagree, and they hold that a cotton cannot be motzi a gadol in kriya in kriya samigila, they said to him, "Ein mevi'in raya min hakotan." In other words, you want to testify about what happened when you were a kotan. Even though now he's a gadol, Rabbi Yehuda, this is one of the tannaim. So he's testifying what he did, what happened when he was a katan. And the Gemara claims that the chacham can't accept the testimony of a gadol about something that happened when he was a katan. In other words, in Eidus there's a din of tchilasa b'psul v'sofa b'kashus is possible. It has to be mitchilasa v'sofa b'kashus. And tchilasa is the time of the re'iyasa Eidus, and at that time he was a katan. You can't testify on something that you saw as a katan. Now, truth be told, that in Durabonans, we do accept the testimony of a gadol when he tells you what happened when he was a katan. For example, in Erevin, there's a whole sugi about how far they would go outside the city, and they needed an Erev. You know, you're not allowed to go out 2,000 Ava, and the different ways of checking it out. So the Tanoim would sometimes testify that they remember as Ketanim where exactly they put the Erev, or how far out of the city limits they would walk. And that might be because you're dealing with the Darabana. But here, and here Lechora in Kriyat Shema, in Kriyat Samegillah, we're dealing with the Darabana. So for some reason, the Gemara thinks that you don't bring a proof based on a testimony of a Gadol who testifies on what happened when he was a Katan. Now the Gemara quotes another brisa, which records a different response to Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya Omer Rebbe, Katan Ha'isi Ukriya. Now it's Rebbe who's telling this story about his katnus. Katan Ha'isi Ukrisiha, and I read the Megillah Lamala mi Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda did not object. You want to prove it from Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one shita which was not accepted by the Chacham that a katan could read the Megillah on behalf of the Gedolim. So for sure, Rabbi Yehuda didn't object in that case. So the Gemara asks, why did the Chacham just simply say Ein Mevi'in Raya Min HaKatan? We just finished saying in the previous brisa that you don't rely on the testimony of a Gadol about what happened when he was a katan.
Right.
And here Rebbe is testifying. Words, before you give me an excuse that Rebbe said in front of Rabbi Yehuda and he read the Megillah and Rabbi Yehuda didn't say anything, and the reason why Rabbi Yehuda didn't say anything is because he had a vested interest, he had an agenda. But forget about all that. The testimony of Rebbe is not a testimony, because you don't testify on what you saw as a katan. So Gemara answers, Chadavi od ka'amrule. There's a piece missing in the Brice. So first they said to Rebbe, Ein mevi'in and raya min hakotan, your testimony is not. And even if you would tell me, well, you can swear a stack of Bibles and you'll somehow dramatically convince us that your testimony is reliable. So what's your proof from Rabbi Yehuda? So even if you would have been a gadol at the time that you saw the Eidus and you saw a cotton reading the Megillah, and you're wondering about Rabbi Yehuda didn't object. You can't bring a proof from Yehuda, who he himself allows a katan to read the Megillah.
There's nothing in here about Isha. There's nothing about a woman.
Right, that's only in the Bahag. You know, it's a sugya daf dalet of an aleph. The Gemara says on daf dalet that Noshim Chayovas Mirka Megillah. And Tosas says that a woman can read the Megillah for a man. Then he quotes the Bahag, and the Bahag says, no, a woman is only chayav in Shmiya, she's not chayav in Kriya, she doesn't share the same identical chayav as a man. In Shulchan Aruch, I think it says that a woman should not read the Megillah for a man. Whether a woman could read the Megillah for another woman, that's already a whole sugi, which I'm not prepared now, I don't remember the details.
Rabbi Azar in the neighborhood allows it.
Now, as far as a cotton is concerned, we're talking here about a cotton she'igil lechinu.
She's not the only one.
And Rabbi Yehuda says that a cotton she'igil lechinu could read the Megillah on behalf of a god. It seems to me that the reason for this might be specific to Megillus Esther. In other words, this is not necessarily, we cannot commit Rabbi Yehuda necessarily to hold that for every mitzvah drabbanon, like Hanukkah, we can allow a katan to represent us, and we can be yotzei through the act of a katan. I think that Kriyas HaMegillah is different, because the essence of Kriyas HaMegillah is to hear the Megillah. And hearing the Megillah is the agenda, is the accomplishment, and it could be that Cotton is capable of giving us a Megillah that we, you know, that we could hear, and he's an expert in Kriya. Why not allow him to do so? But I don't know if we can commit Rabbi Yehuda universally. Now, I both say we're up to the new Mishnah on Daf Chaf Amin Aleph. See, here's my question to you. There are a number of sugyas here that we've covered on Daf Yud Ches and Yud Tes, which I feel we can do better. When I say do better, meaning I'd like to see if we can sort of weave them together a bit into a picture. Is that okay? I mean,
another question.
I know we want to finish Masechta the Megillah, but
we don't have to. We'll finish it when we finish it. Like that.
But we've been sort of a little bit going a little bit fast lately, and I want to take a step back and point out a few things.
That's perfectly fine.
All right.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then hopefully, again, the clock is always our enemy, but we'll learn the Mishnah. Okay. You know that there's a compilation of Brisos which is called Masechta Sofrim. It's published in the back. Now, in Masechta Sofrim, the Brisa says that we read Megillos, various Megillos, on special days, respectively, each Megillah. For example, the Brisa says we read Rus on Shavuos, and we're going to read Shir HaShirim on Pesach, and we're going to read Eicha on Tisha B'Av. And then, the Brisa says, and we read Megillos Esther on Purim. And on at the end of the Brisa, it says, U'mevarchim aleihem asher kitshonu mitzosu v'tzivonu al mikra Megillah. Now watch what happens over here. And the Gaon quotes this in Shulchan Aruch. L'halach l'mais, there are people here in Yerushalayim that follow the minhag Gaon. He says that whenever we read a Megillah publicly, on one of those special days, we recite Asher Kitshonu Tzolson Tzimano Al Mikra Megillah, and the source is this price of Masechta Sofrim. Now what's fascinating here is that that Megillus Esther is on the list. Megillus Esther, l'chor, is a separate mitzvah that was established by the Chachamim because of Purim. You know, we have various minhagim, then on certain Yom Tovim we read Megillah. It's very nice. But that's not what we're dealing with here.
Sfarim, we actually don't generally do it.
Yep. Sfarim don't do, but I'm just saying in Ashkenazim, they're very, very makpin on this. The Yerushalmim, you know, the real, those who have a tradition that goes back to the Gaon, you know, the Talmidim of the Gaon were the first Ashkenazim who settled here in Eretz Yisrael. And they read the Megillah. I've seen it all the time. In the Emek Learning Center, for example, we try very hard. It's only if you have a klav.
Yeah.
And then we had a Shechianu, two brothers. But that Mikra Megillah should be on the list is fascinating, because Mikra Megillah is not just reading one of the Megillot on a special day. The whole essence of Purim is to read.
So the Masechta
is called Masechta Megillah. So Rav Soloveitchik built a whole structure around this Masechta Sofrim, and he claims that there's a mitzvah called Kriyas HaKsuvim. You know, all the Megillot are part of Ksuvim. We have Torah, which we read publicly on Mondays, Thursdays, and Shabbos. And then we have Nevi'im, which we read in the Haftorah. And then we have Ksuvim, which we read the Megillot on the various occasions. And this mitzvah of Kriya B'Ksuvim applies to Megillus Esther no less than it applies to any other Megillah. And he claims, listen to this, that there are two brachas on Megillus Esther. and at night there's a third bracha of Shechiyonu. Some have a bracha of Shechiyonu even on the day, but let's leave out Shechiyonu. One, we have a Shechiyonu Tosafot al Mikra Megillah, and then we have Shas HaNisim Lavoseinu. And he claims the following, that these two brachos represent two different dimensions of the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. The first bracha represents the mitzvah that applies in every yontif of reading ksuvim, that we read Megillos from ksuvim, and we make a bracha, asher kitzor mitzvah sov, as we saw the Masechta Sofra, Mikra Megillah. The second bracha is on a different dimension of Mikra Megillah. And what is that? So he tells you to look in the Gemara on Daf Yud Ches Amid Al. Okay, so this is our Chazara before we start the Mishnah Daf Chav. The Gemara is about ten lines up from the bottom of Yud Ches Amid Alef. And the Gemara analyzes the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that a Loazi, right, he's an Englishman, he's a Frenchman, he doesn't understand Lashon Kodesh, Yatza. Right, he can't hear it, a Frenchman can't hear it in English, or an Englishman can't hear it in French if he doesn't know French. But everyone could be Yotze in Ashuris in Lashon Kodesh. So the Gemara right away asks for Holo Yada, Maika Omre. Yes, he's listening, but it's mechanical, he doesn't understand a word. So the Gemara says there are many other people who don't understand the Megillah, and we're not going to exclude them. There's the Avi Anoshim, let's say the women weren't trained in Lashon Kodesh, Ami Aretz. And the Gemara even goes further to say that there's certain parts of the Megillah that none of us understand, you know, some camels or something, I don't know what they are. Ella says the Gemara, mitzvahs kriya upersume nisa, the mitzvah is to read the Megillah and be mefarsim the nes. So Rashi has a whole piece here, Persume Nisa, Rashi says, Sholim es HaShomim. In other words, the Lazi, who doesn't understand the word, he's going to ask the Shomim, who do understand, tell me what it's all about. Give me the bottom line here. What are we reading over here? And that's enough for Persume Nes. So Rav Soloveitchik says, you see that in addition to what we established based on the Masechta Sofrim, that the mitzvah of Megillah is a mitzvah of Kriya B'Ksuvim, there's also a mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes. And he wants to explain that's the second bracha. The additional bracha of Shas HaNisim is on this kiyum of Pirsum HaNes. And based on this, he wants to explain the Bahag that Eric was referring to before. The Bahag says a woman cannot be Motzi a man. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to claim the following. The Bahag holds as a chiyuv shmia for a woman, but not a chiyuv kriya. Why? Because the kriya is generated by the mitzvah of kriya b'ksuvim. The mitzvah of kriya b'ksuvim is anchored in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. A woman is exempt from Talmud Torah. So the kriya aspect she doesn't have. She has the second dimension of mikra, namely Pirsum HaNes. So as far as shmia is concerned, she's no different than a man. But as far as Kriya B'Torah, Kriya B'Ksuvim, B'Kisvei HaKodesh, she doesn't have that mitzvah, and therefore she's excluded. Now, based on this, he wants to answer a question on Daf Yutes Amid Aleph. Let's take a look at Yutes Amid Aleph. Okay, so on the bottom of Daf Yutes Amid Aleph, we have a Gemara. Just give me a second here. Okay. Two and a half lines up from the end, from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Omar Shmuel, Hakori b'Megillah Ksuva ben Aksuvim, Lo Yotza. So you have all the Megillot written on one continuous cloth, and amongst them is Megillas Esther, and you're not Yotze. Rashi says, about four lines up from the bottom, he says, Hikori ben Aksuvim, Nira Kikori b'Mikra. It looks like he's reading Mikra. And therefore, be'inon igeres li'atzma, we need that the Megillah be a separate book. De mefarsama nisa tf- faith for the purpose of Pirsum Hanes. Now, if you take a look on Daf Yutes Amid Beis, the Gemara says the following, that Levi was reading the Megillah, and it was written Ksuvim Ben Aksuvim. So Amar Le, so they said to Levi, how can you do such a thing? After Akori Ben Megillah Ksuvim Ben Aksuvim Lo Yatsa. So the Gemara says, I'm skipping a drop, Bitzibur Shanu. You have that? That's about, I'd say, five lines down from the top. Bitzibur Shanu. Which means that when you're reading the Megillah Bitzibur, then you're not Yotze B'Ksuva Ben Aksuvim. But if you're reading it B'Yachid, then you could be Yotze with the Megillah Kriya Ben Aksuvim. So Levi read it privately, and he was reading it Ksuva Ben Aksuvim. So I have a footnote here, and he asks the following question: Hine Bitzibur Lo Gara Me'ilu Kara Kol Yachid Bifnei Atzmo. So what if they read it Bitzibur? If you could be Yotze b'Megillah Ksuvim ben Aksuvim b'Yachid, so let's say you have a tzibur. So they got together, they read the Megillah publicly, and they're not Yotze the mitzvah of tzibur because it's Ksuvim ben Aksuvim. Rashi says it's lacking in Pirsum Hanes. It looks like Korei as HaMikra. But l'chach, let at least each person be Yotze as a Yachid.
As a Korei.
Do you follow what I'm saying? Well, we happen to be 10 Yechidim that are all together, but each one is Yotze because of his Chiyuv Yachid, even though it's Ksuvim ben Aksuvim. He doesn't give an answer here. So Rav Salvation wants to answer the following. That there's a kriya of Kisvei HaKodesh when we read a Megillah on its proper occasion, Bitzibur. Once you have a kiyum of Kriyas HaKsuvim, now we have a problem. Because it no longer looks like Pirsum Hanes. It no longer looks like we are reading the Megillah. We're learning the Megillah, and it's a Megillah amongst other Megillahs. And every single Megillah has a mitzvah kiyum of Kriyas Kisvei HaKodesh. So when we have a tzibur, paradoxically, we undermine the mitzvah. We can't even be yotze as a yachid, because the fact that we're reading it as a tzibur is going to remove the element of Pirsum Hanes from that kriya. And we're not yotze. So it's dafka because we have a tzibur that generates a kriya of ksuvim. That's why it looks like Kori B'mikra. It looks like we're reading it as Torah, but not as Pirsum Hanes.
Interesting. That's why he's not Yotze.
And he's not even Yotze as a Yachid. Why? Because we gather together as a tzibur. Once we do so, now again, what would be if there are 10 people sitting in different corners of a room? That would be different. But if we're all reading it together, let's say we appoint one person to read it on behalf of everyone, then it looks like Kori B'mikra. Why? Because now you've imitated the kiyum of Kriyas HaKsuvim. Once you imitate the Kriyas HaKsuvim, in a case of Megillah HaKsuvim and HaKsuvim, it no longer has the element of Pirsum Hanes. It's not Nika that he's doing it for Pirsum Hanes. Rashi says it looks like he's being Kori B'Ksuvim. Kori B'Mikra. Now Rav Salvechik has a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that if Purim falls out on Shabbos, we don't read the Megillah. Why? So we know from the Bavli, because of Gzeirat D'Rabba, we're afraid he's going to carry the Megillah Rosh Hashanah. The Yerushalmi has a different answer. Mishum she'ein korin b'ksuvim b'Shabbos. This is sugi in the Masechta Shabbos. They made a gzeira that we don't want people to read ksuvim. Ksuvim is very popular. You know, everybody likes to read the Megillot, and different people give shiurim on Megillot. It's gishmak, right? It's very good. So on Shabbos, we want people to dedicate themselves to a little bit more serious Torah study. So they made a gzeira, mishum what's called bitul beis hamesh, that you don't read ksuvim. So Rav Salzbechik says, what does it mean that therefore you can't read the Megillah on Shabbos? What does that have to do with Kriya B'Ksuvim? It's Purim. I'm reading the Megillah because it's Purim. The answer is that if you have the Masechta Sofer, the Kiyum of Kriya B'Ksuvim, now when you read the Megillah on Shabbos of Purim, you are fulfilling that mitzvah of Kriya B'Ksuvim. And that is also on Shabbos. That's Yerushalmi. Oh. Now Rav Salzbechik says, perhaps we can answer another kasha. Take a look on Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis. And the Gemara says the following. We're kind of in the middle of Yud Ches Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanu. It's about a line below Tosus Dira Maskel Kan Kantu. Yeah? You have it? Tana Rabbanu? Yud Ches Amud Beis? Again, this is a Tosus Dira Maskel Kan Kantu. If you drop one line below that, you'll see Tana Rabbanu. Hishmit bas Sofer Osios, yeah? So here's the question. The Sofer left out certain parts of the Megillah, letters and even verses. So what did the Koray do? He's a well-versed Koray. He knows it by heart. So he read it by heart. Is Karana Koray Kimiturgamon Hamitargem Yotza? So the Brisa says that even though the Megillah is not complete, nevertheless, if he read it by heart, then you're Yotze. So the Baal Kori fills in the missing gaps. Meisve, the Gemara asked, we have a Brisa, Hayu ba'osios mitush tasho. So if you have letters in the Megillah that are smudged, that are rubbed out, and they're not clear, omikoros, so some of them are ripped. If he can still make out the letters, that's fine. But in Lav, if he can't make out the letters, which means he's reading it bal peh because he knows the Megillah inside out, is psula. And he can't be yotze the mitzvah. So how can you tell me that hishmit bo ha-sofer osios, if there were letters or sentences that were left out, he could be yotze because he reads the bal peh? Here we just said that if the letters are illegible, then it's psula. So the Gemara answers lo kasha ha bekula ha bemiktsasa, meaning the following: it all depends how much is missing from the Megillah. Miktsasa means less than half. Says the Gaon, if less than half of the osios are missing, then we apply a principle called Ruba Kikula. Rov is like he has the whole thing. But if most of the Megillah is missing, we can no longer apply the principle of Ruba Kikula, then it's possible. So when the Brisa says, Mitush Toshos, you're not Yotze, that's because it was Kula. Kula means that there's no way you can say that most of the Megillah is kosher, because most of the Megillah is illegible. But in the case of the Brisa that we started with, that says that Hishmit Bar Sofer Osios etc. is Yotza, that's because it's Miktsasa. We're going to apply the principle of Ruba Kikul. So Rabosa, imagine you have a Megillah that's missing verses and you Yotza. Why? Because it's Miktsasa, it's less than Rub. So the Briska Rav, that's Rav Soloveitchik's uncle, asks the following question. He says, how could you be Yotze when 49% or whatever it is of the Megillah is not written? In Hilcha Sefer Torah, to be Yotze in the midst of Kriya Satorah, even if one os is missing, the whole Sefer is possible and the Kriya is not Yotze. So you see, says the Briska Rav, that the mitzvah of Megillah has nothing to do with the mitzvah of reading the Torah. It's only a mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes. And with regard to Pirsum HaNes, it's enough if he reads part of it bal peh, and that's okay. This would undermine everything we've been saying. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to answer up the kasha of the Briska Rav, and he says the following. The halacha here is Ruba Kakula. Ruba Kakula could apply to a Megillah, but it would not apply to a Sefer Torah. And listen to the way he beautifully explains. It's really very profound. He says Ruba Kakula applies on a Cheftza but not a Maisa. I'll explain what I mean. Let's say, for example, you have a kus of Yayin, right? And it's mostly filled. You could say Ruba Kakula. But let's say you have to do an action. and the Torah says what exactly do you have to do. Here in the action, if you don't do the shir that the Torah requires, we don't say Ruba Kukula. Correct? So for example, what example can I give you? All right, I'll come up with an example soon.
I'm about meaning. You can't just take.
Yeah, you can't say that I took three out of the four of the meaning, so I'm it's Ruba Kukula. The Maisa Netila requires four meaning. Says Rav Soloveitchik, here there's a difference between Sefer Torah and Kriyas HaTorah on the one hand and Megillah on the other. Megillah, he says, is an entity. It's a unit. It's a heft. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It has bookends. On something that has bookends, you could say Ruba Kukula. You could say that now, even though almost half of the letters are gone, but the Megillah is here. It's as if the entire Megillah is here. But in Sefer Torah, we're not reading the entire Sefer Torah. We're reading Psukim in the Sefer Torah. Each pasuk is a separate entity. And there's a certain shir in what's considered a Maisa Kriya. For example, you have to read 10 Psukim, certain case you have to read 21 Psukim, whatever the different shirim are. You can't say Ruba Kukul if you didn't read the 10 Psukim. That's not a Maisa Kriya. So in the case of Megillah, we're allowed to apply the principle of Ruba Kukula because we have an entity, a unit called Mikra Megillah. And he read most of it, and most of it was written. It's as if he read and the entire Megillah was written. That's called Ruba Kukula. We have that entity. We'll call it a Heftza Megillah. But in the case of Sefer Torah, there you don't have.
So does that mean in a case where a letter is missing or a word is missing from the Megillah, you wouldn't say the bracha over on the Megillah? Like, would this then not qualify for the mitzvah from the Sefer Sofer?
I think the Rav is saying no, you would make the bracha.
So
why?
It still qualifies under.
Right, on the Ruba Kukula, meaning that since Megillah is able to receive the Ruba Kukula principle, therefore it's called Kisvei HaKodesh. And it's really interesting because in Kisvei HaKodesh, one could say that if there's a separate entity, called it a Megillah, then you have to read Bitaris Kisvei HaKodesh, then you could apply Ruba Kukula on that entity. And therefore it's as if I read the entire Megillah. And now the Rav wants to explain something else. Take a look on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. Now, you remember I told you to look at the Tana Rabbanon, yeah? So if you look below that Tana Rabbanon of Hishmet Bo HaSofer, this is another Tana Rabbanon right below it. You see that?
Yes.
Hishmet Bo HaKorei Pasuk Echad. So this has to do with the halacha of Seirgin. Do you remember that there's halacha that you can't read the Megillah out of order? So what happened is the Sofer inadvertently skipped a pasuk. He catches himself. And now he says, you know what, let me read the rest of the Megillah, and then I'll read that pasuk later. So that he can't do because it's out of order. And then the Braisa says the following, Nichnas lebeis haKnesses, I come into the synagogue, and Motzah Tzivu Shekaru Chetzia. Okay, that would never happen here, but somebody got, you know, he woke up late, and he comes into the shul. You know, here in the Shtiblich, I don't know, they probably have 15 different Kriyas HaMegillah, but yeah, let's say you live in a small town, and there's only one Kriyas HaMegillah, and then you came in there halfway through. Lo Yomar, don't say Ekra Chetzia Matzivur, let me join the Tzivu for half. The Achakach Ekra Chetzia. And then I'll go back and make up the balance. I'll fit in the top. It's like it's like reading the end of a novel and then going back to reading the first half of the novel, you know, or football. Could you imagine watching from halftime and on, and then you'll say, well, give me the replay on the first half. So you can't do that. So Rav Soloveitchik asks the following question. I found the question here also in the footnote. What's the chiddush of this braisa? Obviously, if he hears from midpoint till the end of the Megillah, and then he's going to make up the first half, it's Shalom Kiseder, it's Lamafreya. We already finished saying that you have to read the Megillah Kiseder. So what was the Havamina here? What was the thought process here that the Bryce has to tell me? Don't think he's going to listen to half the Megillah and then he'll read the first half of the Megillah. He's got to go back and read from the start. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to suggest the following. There are two dimensions of Megillas Esther. One is to read the Megillah Kiseder, and the other is to read the Megillah Bitzibur. Why? Because Pirsum HaNes gets jacked up by a few decimals, a few points, if you read it with the Tzibur. So the man has a balancing act here. He's got to decide which is more important on the scale. If he listens to half of the Megillah, and then he reads the first half, he's going to forfeit the din of Lemafreya, meaning Keseder, but he's going to gain the Kiyum of Tzibur. If, on the other hand, he drops the Tzibur and he reads it from the start, then he gains the Keseder, right? Because he read Vayivi Me'af HaShverish, and then, but he forfeits the Tzibur. The Havamina was that maybe this Kiyum, this extra dimension of Tzibur, is so important that we would even give up on the Keseder for the sake of the Tzibur.
Maybe it doesn't qualify as Tzibur for him. I mean, if he missed the first half, if you have to read the whole thing, then he is not even getting benefit of the Tzibur by missing the first half.
So Rav Soloveitchik, listen carefully, he wants to say just the opposite. Here's a mind-boggling concept. Let's say you can't come to Daven B'tzibur. Do you know what it says in the poskim what you should do if you can't make it to synagogue? Do you remember that at all?
Everybody.
Of course, it never happened to you, but I'm saying, everybody theoretically.
Everybody reads at home.
Yeah, but when should you read it at home?
When everybody else.
You should try to synchronize it, exactly.
Yeah.
So if Soloveitchik wants to suggest that what the Gemara is telling us here is that even if you're not reading it with the Tzibur, but you're reading it when the Tzibur, you follow the difference, then you could be Yotzei that Kiyum of Tzibur. That's what the Gemara is telling him here. You think that if you go back now and read the beginning of the Megillah, whereas the Tzibur is starting, you know, they're way ahead of you, the horse is running, you're not Yotzei, you don't link up with the Tzibur. No. The fact that the Tzibur is now involved in Pirsum HaNes, that gives you the possibility, even if you're reading the Megillah from the start, to link up with the Tzibur. And Rav Soloveitchik wants to claim, again, it's pretty revolutionary, that that's the maskon of the Gemara. Don't say, well, if I start reading the Megillah from the beginning, I forfeit the Kiyum of Tzibur. No, you will not forfeit the Kiyum of Tzibur, because since there's an overlap, meaning they're reading the half of the Megillah, I don't know who's going to finish first.
Well, but it's like,
but since you begin creating, you know, if you can synchronize, so here, like again, I don't know the poskim. Let's say, for example, that Tzibur is in the middle of Shmon Esrei, right? I'm going to give you that example. And I start my Shmon Esrei. Do I have a Kiyum of Tzibur? I don't know. You know, it's a very complicated halacha. I have it every day because I'm a crazy nun. I started dominating in the 6 a.m. minyan here. Right. By the way, it's absolutely brutal. It's brutal. I mean, they have no rachmanis. They leave no captives behind. I mean, between Baruch Sha'amar and Chazor Sashatz is about 6 minutes. I mean, it's just impossible. It's impossible. I have to get there 15 minutes earlier, but that allows me to sit here in this room that Eric is the catalyst here and prepare the shiur that I'm giving you. So I do it. No one should follow my act. You know, they say that a mashgiach kashrus sometimes doesn't eat from his own hatchet. You know, but if they see, you know, you go into a restaurant, you see, well, look, that frum guy, he's got big yarmulke and he's eating, so I can eat it. So don't take a thing from me. In any event, what would be, and that's why I don't know, I have this shayla all the time, if somebody could research it in the post.
I know Rav Bani Yosef holds that if you're... It count. You get the mitzvah. Even if you start right when they're just before they're finished, as long as they're still davening when you start.
That's exciting for me. So even, the 6 a.m. That's very exciting.
Even if you come in late to the room, at least 10 men are still davening Shmona Esrei. Even if it's like there are 100 men there, only 10 or so, if you're still part of that as long
so
as
I'd love to know. I'd love to know, Scott, if you give me the tshuva from Avadya, where he gets this from. Because I came up with this far on my own. Again, I don't know, Avadya said it's kind of quote, you know, called Tarkulis, can quote 50 different sources, you know, Kitarko. But I'm just saying, intuitively, I came up with the following solution. That it all depends on the first bracha. Why? Because the first bracha is absolutely critical. What we call avos, right? The Gemara says in Masechet Brachos, the fourth parak, that if you didn't have kavana, you're not yotzei. But if you had kavana during avos, you're yotzei. So I was thinking that maybe in order to link up with the tzibur, you have to at some point. So what I do, for example, in the morning is before I say Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avram, because I'm ahead of the tzibur, because I know there's no chance I'll get to Kedush on time. So I jump ahead, and as soon as they say Gol Yisrael, I say Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avram. You know, so at least I'm connected to that first bracha. But if Ramadan says I can connect at the end, that's like, you know, that's Sivala
Misiha. The other thing also said, the other thing also is, like,
ooh, we gotta end.
Okay. If I'm really like, he says if you daven with the shalit if you daven along with him.
Oh yeah, no, that's usually even for us Ashkenazim. We're with you on that one.
But if I'm really late, that's what I.
For Volbeat, there's a whole mamma on this. If you know, again, I've with again of what and everything. He says it's a machlokis in the Ram. There's two Rambams that are that you say with the tzibur, without the tzibur, and they contradict each other. He says, what? One is for the first the Baruch Ata Avot, that you have to have Kavana for, and the other one, not Tzibur, with the Avot,